Shall we pray?
Our blessed Father, we want to thank you this evening for making another way for us to be in your presence, having been blessed in the morning, having been delivered by the word of life. Yes, to whom shall we go? You alone have the word of eternal life. We say as Peter said on that day, because we are certain that there's no other place, no other church, there's no other denomination, there's no other gathering on this earth today, Lord, that we can go to find the word of life outside of Malachi 4. And we are grateful to know that we are feeding on thus saith the Lord, the word of the Almighty, that is potent enough to transform the sinner to saints, to save this, to heal the sick, Heavenly Father, and to lead the saints to higher ground. Thank you for what you did in the morning. All has gone into history, and there will be testimony to the glory of your name. Thank you, Father. We commit ourselves to you this evening, Lord, that once again your grace will take over. Lord, you will draw us closer to you still. That, Lord, our blessing will be full by the time the service ends, Lord, will be better than we came here. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. God bless you. Let's open my Bible to 1 John chapter 3. Sorry, chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We just read verses 5 to 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Excuse me, the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. We started this on Saturday, on Wednesday, and by the grace of God, as I said, we'll be continuing with it this evening. From the sermon basis of fellowship, the prophet started by telling us, so that we, because I know this time it's not going to wait for us, and we have so many on our hands here. So now the prophet says, now fellowship is when we can come together. You can't make like crows and doves. They can't have fellowship one another. Their diet is different. Their habits are different. You have to have fellowship as long as you are in an agreement. Now, what makes man long to have fellowship? What makes us come together? Basis of fellowship, paragraph 62. So now, what makes man long to have fellowship? What makes us come together and want to fellowship with one another? It is because that there has to be some kind of restraint from that. The prophet went further to give us understanding in another sermon that he preached also, that he called the way. to fellowship. Let me give you the date. That's 55-10-09. So you can easily get it from there. Paragraph 36. You can take it from 34, as we did the other time. 34b. Now when God saw that his children had separated, he came down for fellowship, and there was no one there to welcome him. Remember the other night when I preached on the woman washing Jesus' feet? He was unwelcome by the Pharisees. He is unwelcome tonight in many people. He is unwelcome in many churches, in many cities. Look, when Israel was dividing up their lands, okay, let me leave that to 30, okay, 36b, all right. And so then, when sin came in, he separated man from fellowship. Notice what God did to bring man back to fellowship. He introduced to the world that blood redemption. God killed animals and put for their skin, showing a blood redemption. And there God, after being separated from his creature, God laid out the welcome mat back home by the shedding of the blood. And that was then, and has been, and will always be. God's provided preparation for fellowship with him is through the shed blood. The title is the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, like I said, it's not a new thing to us, but being that we just want to bring to our memory again to know how to remind us how to approach God, placing ourselves before him, seeing that the times are fleeting. Praise be to God. This reminds us that when the first man and the first woman that God made sinned, the prophet said, ordinarily, what should have happened will they would have been killed, destroyed. He said, but if God did that, he had the rest of his attributes to manifest. And that made him, right before he began to put things in place, he decided to make a plan, because he wants to be a savior. He wants to be a God that will be worshipped. Principally, he wants to be worshipped. That is God's desire. God wants to be worshipped. And that is why the prophet said he created the angels first. And then the angels were worshipping him. But angels were made in a different form that we are made. And so, angels don't know what sin is. They don't know what redemption is. Besides those who the devil pulled to himself. And those on they are already judged. They know their final destination. Those angels that fell with the devil. The devil and those angels, they knew their final, they are already judged. They are not waiting for the white throne judgment before they are judged. They are condemned already. So because they know their place, there's no opportunity for them, no opportunity for repentance. And the devil knows that. Praise be to God. So the prophet told us that God decided in his own mind to lay a plan out. Of course, the plan of the fall was part of what he planned. But he did not orchestrate it, as the prophet told us. But he placed man upon free moral agency, which will enable that to happen, so that his attribute can be displayed. Now, when Adam and Eve fell,
The first thing he has to do is to come and display the attribute of a savior by coming down to take an animal, because he knew what will appease him. He knew what he wanted. And he knew what he wanted the man to do to come back to him. He did not pluck fruit and cut it in pieces and throw it down, like Cain did, as we heard in the morning. He took an animal because he had a plan. That animal he took was a type of what he was going to do later in his great mind. See, God is not like human beings who is short-sighted. So, right in the beginning, God had planned that he was going to use the animal as a substitute, which will be a type of Christ coming. Look at the time it happened in Genesis. Look at the time Jesus Christ came. How many thousands of years? The first 1,000 years, the first 2,000 years from creation to Noah, the flood took that care of 2,000 years, and after Noah to the time of Jesus Christ, 2,000 years. That 4,000 years. So you can imagine, God had to wait 4,000 years for what he had in mind, which he represented in form of an innocent animal, to wait before he manifested 4,000 years after. So it was a plan he had already made. It was not a plan he came quickly to come and make. He was already proactive. That is why he says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard, will raise a standard against it. And that is because nothing comes by surprise to God. He had already seen everything that will come, and he had put plans in place. So, making an atonement for the fallen man was the plan he put in place temporarily, waiting for the time that the full manifestation of that will come in the person of Jesus Christ, who will now be our innocent substitute again. Praise be to God. But not animal this time around, but a kinsman. Praise be to God. All right, let's come here. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Okay, you will get that 63. 4728. Let's take paragraph 142. And then we'll continue here. The first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. God has three full purposes that he wanted to achieve. Christ is the minister of God revealed, paragraph 141. The first thing that God wanted, he had threefold purpose from paragraph 140. Notice God had a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. Yes. In his great mystery secret that he had before the world began. He has got a threefold purpose in it. And now what we want to go upon this morning is what are these threefold purposes? See? I believe by the help of God, who is present, he will show it to us. Now, if he had this threefold purpose, we want to find out what are these threefold purpose. The first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. He had a plan in his mind. He couldn't do it as a great Jehovah God who covers all space, time, and eternity. He could not. He's too great to ever be revealed to people, because it will be too mysterious. How could that great being that never did begin, that after you went beyond the circle of the hundreds of billions and trillions and trillions of years of light space, and on out into the infinite, into the eternity, and a great creature that was all that and still is? How could human mind ever fathom that? So he could not reveal himself in that greatness that he was. So he wanted to reveal himself. He had a plan that he was going to use to make himself known to the people. But what he wanted to do, he loved fatherhood, for he was a father. And the only way that he could express it was to become a son, a man. You see, that is the reason Jesus kept saying the Son of Man. See, they didn't know what he was talking about, many of them, but now you get it. See, he wanted to express himself. That was his one of his great threefold purposes, was to express himself, identify himself with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. Now, to identify himself with human beings, for what? For what? It would be relevant if there was no fall. Because it is the fall that made him to want to become that right in his mind. So he created a fall for that to happen so that he can become kinsman. And that's why he came in the flesh, so that he can become kinsman. The animal is not kinsman to us because he has only three levels. Spirit and body. But the man has three levels, soul, spirit, and body. So that was why in the Old Testament, the atonement he made for them, it just covered their sin and cover it up and didn't expunge it. Did not atone for it. He did not take it away. He didn't take the stain of it away. And that stain of it was actually the nature of those people. The nature that committed the sin could not be tampered with the blood, with the spirit of the animal, because the animal spirit cannot come upon the man to effect God's word in the life of that man. So he planned it. He just put this plan in place, gradually unfolding it. That is why he started with blood in the Garden of Eden by killing an animal. That was his decision. And the prophet said that decision he took then is the decision ever that he has stood with. And that is why it says in Hebrew that without the shedding of the blood, then there is no remission of sin. So he started it. And the prophet said whatever God has started with, being the Father, he will ever remain with it. And that's why, without the blood today, nobody can come to Christ. Nobody can come to God. Praise be to God. So, that was it. One of his great threefold purposes was to express himself and identify himself with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. Now he could do that in Adam and Eve, but sin separated them. So now there had to be some way to get it back again. Because that was his purpose. This is rich to me. Just to even think of it. See what God's purpose was. Now, why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve like that? Keep them in their sinful condition. Why didn't he just keep them in a simple condition and patch them up and continue with them like that? The rest of his attributes will not materialize. Then he will never be able to express his fullness, his full attribute, because he could have been a father there. That's true, as because he created Adam and Eve. He created Adam, then formed Eve out of Adam. Because he could have been a father there. That's true, but also he is a savior. So if he didn't make atonement for them, he will not be a savior. Are you with me? So if he didn't shed blood, if he didn't take an animal, a substitute animal, and shed the blood for Adam and Eve to make atonement for their sin, then he won't be a savior. Then there will not be healing. Because atonement is in two parts. Salvation for the soul and healing for the body. That they will remain sinful like that and continue to live in the Garden of Eden with corrupted body. So that will not allow the rest of the attributes of God to materialize.
You see?
So, you say, how do you know he was? He is. Because I have had the experience. I think somebody was asking in their mind, how do you know that he's a savior? You know? See, he's a savior. And he had to express that. And how could he do it? Only through Christ. How could he be a son? Only through Christ. How could he be a healer? Only through Christ. See, all things all wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ. Oh, man. When I think, let me see. Am I still in line? All right, let's leave that a bit. So, the prophet, in a nutshell, is trying to present this to us here, that God had a plan in his mind. And when sin came, it's not that God did not know that sin was coming. He knew it was going to come, so he already planned it together with his redemptive work. So when that happened, he just came in to step in. What he planned to do, he just brought an animal, and then just took care of it. And then by that, the prophet said, he spread welcoming mat for his lost children to come back to him again. The prophet said, if he didn't do that, Adam and Eve were gone forever. They would not have been able to come. So, but God, because he longed for fellowship, he decided to make an atonement for them so that they can come back to him. And that was why he further, in the time of the children of Israel, we heard about Job recently. Job was killing animal for the sacrifice, for the atonement for his children, and for himself as well. Because he won't make for his children without making for himself. That was because God instituted the blood. That was before Moses. The prophet told us that Job existed before Moses. Before the book of Genesis. Only that the Bible is not written chronologically. Job will have come before Genesis. That's what the prophet told us. That Job was one of the oldest scriptures in the Bible. So you will understand it that even before Abraham, because the prophet told us, of course, Genesis is where we know about Abraham, isn't it? So you will know that Abraham told us how Abraham, by revelation, wanted to be buried where Job was buried. So which means Job existed and lived far, far, far before Abraham came. Praise be to God. So it was the blood. Every one of God's children don't play with that. They don't play with that blood. Because they know that that is the only thing that gives them access before God. It's not that they will go and kill animal and be making sacrifice and say, God, this is the animal I have brought. No. Hallelujah. Alright, let's come to 156 and then we... Secondly, 155. Secondly, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, the bride, till he will have the preeminence to express himself through them. God's intention is to express himself through me and through you. And he can only do that when he has the preeminence over my life. And he can't have the preeminence over me when his spirit is not dwelling in me. The first thing that he wanted to reveal himself to us through Jesus Christ, and it is through Jesus Christ that perfect atonement comes. So when the perfect atonement comes through Jesus Christ, then the life of God in Christ that came out from that blood can now come upon the believer and make the believer now to be like God, God now having preeminence over the believer. God having the overlord, God having the control over the believer. And through that, the believer expresses Christ to the people. Expresses Christ to the people of the world. Because God wants to be revealed to the people. He has done that in Christ. And what Christ has done, he has given us also the same by his Spirit. And then we are also supposed to reflect God to the people. Praise be to God. Let me repeat that. Till he could have the preeminence to express himself through who? Through them. The people that he has revealed himself to. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightful position that fell by sin by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowship with them. That's the third purpose. So let's look at 172 to 176. To 176, and then we move forward. Now notice again. Now what is threefold purpose? This is just a summary of it. His threefold purpose: manifest himself in Christ Jesus, to come into the body by Jesus Christ, to have the preeminence, to restore back Eden, bring back that which was lost. That was the only thing out of order, that which was lost, that has not been accomplished. And that's why we talk about, the first class sitting and the rest of it, the millennium, things like that. But he had to put man on free moral agency to fall, so that he might be a savior, to display what is in him, that is God, not Adam, that God might display what is in him. You can see that is capital H. See, his attribute of savior, something had to be lost. And the very thing that man fell and became lost, he became the savior of that, taking his own law. And he could not do it as that great Jehovah that covered all space, time, sea. He couldn't do it. He had to become a man. And he took kingship with a man that was lost. Amen. And became a man. God made flesh. You see? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think I am excited, but I'm not. Something inside. God became from God to become me, to take my sin upon him, that he might make me him, amen, back to his great purpose of sons and daughters of God, for he is the eternal Father. That attribute was in him, see, so that had to be displayed. Now, see the old threefold purpose, see, to express himself. To express himself to the world of what is lost. Now he had to express himself in a man to become a savior through the reconciliation of the blood from his cross. Now he had to become that, to die, in order to save and to bring himself back into the church to have the preeminence in his church. Praise be to God. You see, you will find that Jesus Christ, when he was yet to be born, the angel went to speak to, Joseph. when Joseph was doubting about the conception of Jesus, and then the angel came to speak to him when he was doubting. And the angel told him, verse 21, that, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He shall save his people from their sins. We have other scriptures that I just want us to go through, so that I can continue with what is before us here. He will save his people from their sin. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Now, how will he save his people from their sin? He will have to shed his blood for that atonement. And that's what Jesus Christ makes reference to in 26th chapter of Matthew, verse 28 here, when he was concluding with his disciples, after taking communion with them, then he told them, verse 20, he said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Praise be to God. I think last Wednesday we read Luke chapter 24, where the Lord was telling the disciples when he was about to go away, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, because he has made the atonement for the remission of sins. He has made atonement for the remission of sins. Now, looking at this accomplishment of Jesus Christ on the cross, the shedding of his blood, then we now want to look at what Bro Paul tells us in Hebrews, how he presented that blood to us. Of course, in the series of sermons that the prophet preached on talking, the prophet, we are coming to those things in a short while. Let me just read this part again, talking about what the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. We know very well that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10, Bro Peter was bringing to our understanding, Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 9, from verse 10. He said, okay, let's speak from verse 9. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to this conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come, an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, that is his body, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, I want you to watch that, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. Because once they obey what God said there, as far as God was concerned, they were perfect. So if the blood of bull and animal and the sprinkling of the blood will accomplish perfection that God desired, which God wanted, though we know it was not perfect, but God saw them at the end of the day as perfect. Are you getting me now? Yeah, because that was what he provided for them. So once a repentant worshiper did that with sincerity of the heart, he was okay. He has met Jehovah's requirements. The punishment that should have come upon him will be waived. So then he will not be seen as a sinner, though his nature is not changed. But because it was God's provision, he accepted it for them. So that's what he's saying here, that if the sprinkling of the blood and the washing of plate, and then the blood of heifer and goats will sanctify even the people to the purifying of the flesh, then verse 14 says, then how much more shall the blood of Christ, we're talking about the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's what the blood of Jesus is to do. And that is why the prophet told us that the three stages of salvation that we talk about, justification, for your sins to be forgiven, it is based on this work of Jesus Christ, the blood, to atone for your sin. That has been at the first stage, justification. After the person has repented, once you have repented and accepted the proposition of the blood is applied to you, then your sins are forgiven, not on any other thing, but on the merit of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the blood that is shed. So though your nature is not changed at justification, and at that sanctification again, it is the blood again, that same blood that will be applied to your heart. But the spirit of it is not yet given to you. Are you getting that? But it is still the work of grace of God. God uses the blood to cleanse the believer. He cleanses the believer and sets him aside for service. The prophet said, it is the blood that cleanses you for sanctification. So it is that same sacrifice that Jesus Christ made that is still accomplishing that. So every stage that you are in this journey, justification, you have to know that if you have truly repented and you have seen the effect of, you know, the word of God in your life, then you will see that daily you have to approach God for the cleansing of your life through the blood. The prophet said, if after justification you have and you sin again, because you will sin, because your nature is not changed. The prophet said, if it's a smoker, he may still be smoking. But if it's a true repentance, if it's a true repentance and the person does it very well before he goes to water, that will be a change. That can happen in an instant. That the person will come back from that place and fill with the Holy Spirit. And depending on your attitude, it may take you years as well. As we have on our hands. Praise be to God. So how much more shall the blood of Christ, which through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It is the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us that access to the presence of God. Praise be to God. And that is what Ephesians tells us. Let's look at this. That's what the Ephesians tell us. You know, that's we have access to the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Many of us don't take our Bible to heaven. You are waiting for what is displayed on the board. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Only through him. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen. Everything centers around the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So we have access to the Father through him. Romans chapter 5. Well, we don't really have time, because these are things that we should spend more time on. But I just want to, you look at it now. We have not said like Jack Robinson. I wish I had power to bring the hand of this clock back to 3 o'clock. Don't worry. We have the power in us. Yeah. We have it in us. But it will take God to activate that when it is needed. If it's really needed, something will happen. Praise be to God. Because the believer is a creator. The man that is filled with the Holy Spirit is also a creator. Why is he a creator? The creator is dwelling in him. But he cannot do it on his own. The creator that is in him have to determine what to do. And that's what the prophet told us, that we have the power, we can create another world. He said, but God regulates our faith. We are not happy with the way this world is. All these naked women around us. The prophet said, the believer can speak another world into existence. And we go there and go and live. He said, but that will interfere with God's original program. How will the sinners receive the gospel? So what happens to this present world that is going to become a new one, a new heaven and a new earth when we create another one? It's going to run contrary to God's plan. So he will not allow that faith to rise to that level. But when it comes to where he wants, whatever he wants done, it will quicken us. It will send his grace. And then we'll be able to do it. Praise be to God. That time is here. May God prepare every one of us. Romans chapter 5. Verse 2. Okay, is that what I put there? Okay. Okay, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access through whom, by whom, Christ, the blood that is shed, is what gives us access before God. No man can have. That is why you will see in the temple, in the Old Testament, there is nobody that came to the tabernacle in that time, whether in the wilderness or the time of the children of Israel, when they already said to the temple that Moses, that Solomon built. It has to come with blood. That was why the priest himself, the high priest himself, before he entered into the most holy place, he had to make sacrifice for himself first. Because if he does not come by that blood to cleanse himself for his own sins, make atonement for his own sins as the high priest, if he entered there, he won't come out. They will only drag him out as a dead man. Because the eyes of the Lord cannot behold him. Look, it is that blood that is on the throne of mercy, or that the throne of God, that makes it the throne of grace, that makes it the throne of mercy. And that blood is constantly pleading. That is, Jesus Christ is there, because the blood is there, constantly pleading for sinners. It's because Jesus is there pleading for us that we came from denomination and came to come and see the message. And as many as are yet to come into the body of Christ that are here, God's sons and daughters, is there pleading your case too. Because the blood is still there. That's why it's called mercy seat. So you can look unto him into the throne of mercy and appeal to the throne of mercy to have mercy upon you. Because this is the time of mercy. Praise be to God. That blood gives us that access. That blood gives us that access before him. Look at the blood of your son and have mercy upon me. You shed your blood for my sake. You must have to appropriate that blood to yourself. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Three things. In whom we have what? Boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 tells us something again very related to that. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly. How can you come boldly without the blood? Because the only way you can come boldly is because you are certain the blood is standing for you. So if the blood is not standing for you, you can't come boldly. The high priest cannot enter the most holy place boldly if he has not made sacrifice for himself and for the sins of the people before he enters into that place. By the time he did and met Jehovah's requirement, then he can walk into that place with confidence, with boldness. Then he had access into that most holy place through the blood that was shed. And do you know that when the blood was shed on the cross, when Jesus gave up the ghost, access to that place was open for us? Because the veil that prevented the most holy place from being seen was rent from top to bottom. The prophet said, meaning that access has been given to anybody. Before, you couldn't enter there. To enter that place, it was death. But now that he has shed his blood, the perfect blood, not the blood of an animal, the blood of an animal prevented direct access into that most holy place. But when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, the moment he gave up the ghost like this, the temple, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, declaring that access to that place has been open to whoever wants to come in. Praise be to God. So, now, praise be to our God. We now realize, okay? Have you given us, have we read it? Hebrews 14. Hebrews chapter 4. Okay, you have read it. That's all right. I think there's still a scripture that I want to read. Chapter 9, verse 24 to 26. Hebrews. Chapter 9, verse 24 to 26. Okay, let me pick it from 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with this. That's with blood. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than this. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. Okay? Figures of the true. But into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. Okay? For them must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. If Jesus Christ, we have to be offering himself, then he has to be coming to be killed all over. Like the high priest has to go and kill animal every time he was to enter into the most holy place. He had to kill an animal. Are you with me? From the back, are you with us? Those are the back to the sister side. I didn't hear your response very well. We don't have more time again. Are you with us? You didn't hear any sign? Just one or two persons talking. We are too fast, Abby. You are catching on with us. If you are catching on, raise up your hand from here and I'm here. All right, God bless you. Well, the Lord will take the little thing and we put it in our heart and water it and anoint it. Praise be to God. All right. Verse 26. For them must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, as he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, this also talks about, the prophet tells us that now Jesus Christ came at the end of, at this time, the time he came, there were people that lived before him. There were people who lived before him. Then he came in the middle of the age. And then after him, there are people still living. Okay? So, he had people before him, Adam, up to the time Jesus came, referred to as Old Testament. And then from his time that he came, New Testament. Now, the blood that he shed had power to effect, had effective power over those who lived before him. His blood had power, had effect upon Adam, upon Eve, upon Abraham, upon Job, upon the saints of old. That was why when they died under the blood of bull and animal, they were kept in paradise. They could not go before the presence of God. But now that he shed his blood, that blood came to make perfect atonement that God required for them. And it was because of that that they were able to resurrect with him and follow him into God's presence. In rapture. That's the power in that blood to those who lived before him. The Old Testament people. Now, we that are now living after him, the blood is still as potent as it was effective in the life of those who lived before him. The blood is still effective. The blood is still working. Anybody who will wake up tomorrow to recognize that this is the sacrifice God has done for him, that blood will work for that person. And the person accepting that blood, the spirit that came from that blood, the life of God that came from that blood will come upon the worshiper. Do you understand that? So that blood, it came in the middle. The Old Testament people, then it came after them. And then before us, he came, shed the blood. Then he used the blood to take care of those who lived before him. And by that, he took care of their sins and brought perfection to them. And then they went with him.
During his resurrection.
And then after him now, we are here. So the blood is still working for everybody. It worked in the first church age. The blood work in the second church age. The blood work in the third church age. The blood work in the fourth church age. The blood work in the fifth church age. It work in the sixth church age. Is working in this last church age. Until the last bride, the last elect of God, will be called here. That blood will still be on the throne. That blood has been on the throne since he resurrected, pleading the case of his people in every age, calling them, pleading. This is not yet redeemed. This is yet to come. This is yet to come. This is yet to come. Because he knows them. So he's on the throne pleading, interceding for us, even every time. That's why they say that we have an high priest that does what? Can be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. And the prophet said he is on the throne interceding for us concerning what we claim that he has done for us. Is there, he ever lives to make intercession for us. So he is making intercession because the blood is still on the throne. Praise be to God. All right, from the sermon, God hiding himself in simplicity, wherever we reach. Let me just read this out for us as we try to. All right. God revealed himself. God hiding in simplicity, hiding himself in simplicity, then revealing himself in the same. Now, paragraph 4:8. Now, when man, before he sinned, the prophet said, I'm closing, and I'm also closing. But don't miss it. When man sinned, he separated himself from God and crossed the great chasm and put himself in death on the other side. He left. There is no way back left for the man. He's gone for good. Exactly. There is no way for him to get back. But then, when he did, God accepted a substitute, which was a lamb or a goat or a sheep or something, for blood, which Adam spoke of. I mean, Abel spoke of. On the other side of the chasm. On that side, he is a son of God, is an offering from God, offspring from God. He is an inheritance of the earth. He can control nature. He can speak into existence. Why? He is a creator himself. He's an offering of offspring of God. But when he crossed, he separated his sonship. He's a sinner by nature. He's under the hands and dominion of Satan. That is why he could do things that, you know, human being could never imagine because of that sinful nature. And God took a sacrifice, a chemical of the blood, but the blood of bulls and goats did not divorce sin. It only covered sin. If I have got a red spot on my hand and cover it with white, the red spot is still there. See, it's still there. But God sent down from heaven a bleach for sin. It was the blood of his own son that when our confessing drops into God's bleach, try to find it again. The coloring of sin goes back through the mediator and down through the time until he hits the accuser, Satan, and lays on him till the day of the judgment. What happened to the son? He becomes in perfect fellowship with the father again. standing on the other side of the chasm with no remembrance of sin against him. No more. There is no more stain of bleach can be seen anywhere. He is free. Hallelujah. Just that that Clorox or that ink can never be ink no more because it is broke up and sent back again. And when confessed sin is confessed and being dropped into the blood, a man or a woman that has been dipped into the blood of Jesus Christ, he kills all symptoms. And every molecule of sin goes back to the devil and laid on him till the day of judgment, where his eternal destination will be thrown into a lake of fire, and the chasm is breached and never to come in. The prophet says somewhere in this other side, he said the chasm is not breached. He said it's closed up. He said the chasm is closed up. When you bridge it, you put a bridge over it to walk over. The prophet said the chasm does not exist between God and his child any longer. It's breached. It's closed. That chasm is closed. It's closed. You won't see a separation between the child and God any longer. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ was that created the bridge for the man to come. But once that is done, there is no separation between that man and that. No more chasm between him and God. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. That his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Let the way be clear and nothing between. That's what that song says. Once the blood atones for you, there is nothing between you and God.
Sorry, I'm trying to see where I stopped. This is the last thing I will read. So,
what happened to the Son? He became in perfect fellowship with the Father. 14. That's where I can trace my way back. With the Father, standing on the other side of the chasm with no remembrance of sin against him. No more. There is no more stain of bleach can be seen anywhere. He is free. Hallelujah. Just as that Clorox or the bleach can be seen anywhere. He is free. Hallelujah. Just as that Clorox or that ink can never be ink no more because it is broken and sent back again. And when confessed sin is confessed and been deep into a man or woman that has been deep into the blood of Jesus Christ, it kills all symptoms. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ is not much. He does not feel a pail of water. So, this dipping here that the prophet is talking about is the application of that blood to the person's heart to wash away the sins of that man. Like the nun will say, I bury you in the pool of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a pool. It's actually not the chemistry we are talking about. Are you following me? But the life that came out of it, which is the Holy Spirit. And the prophet says that if your repentance is accepted, God will give you confirmation by giving you the Holy Ghost to prove that he has truly forgiven you. A man and a woman that's deep in the blood of Jesus Christ, it gives us symptoms. What are the symptoms? The sign of sin in the life of that man destroys the Adamic nature. And every molecule of sin goes back to the devil and laid on him until the day of judgment, where his eternal destination will be thrown into the lake of fire, and the chasm is breached, and never to come into remembrance no more. And the man stands justified as a son of God, simplicity. That is what the blood of Jesus does, the power. It gives you access. It gives you privilege to talk to God, and God will hear you. Without that blood, no prayer will be answered. The prophet says, outside of the blood, no prayer will be answered. No worship, nothing. But what God is looking for is true worshippers. And who are the true worshippers? No answer in the denomination. Who is true? In the fellowship, a brother asked that question. Myself and my wife and I, we were discussing that when we were in the denomination. In the fellowship, after Sunday, they would go to fellowship. A brother was asking, a brother in our home fellowship, I was attending a different fellowship because of location. And the brother rose up to ask a question in the place and said that the Bible, they said the Bible says that they that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. He said, how can one worship God in spirit and in truth? You know, in the fellowship, it is your opinion, my opinion, my opinion. We all deliberate on the scripture and tell you what I think about it, what you think about it, what he thinks about it, what he thinks about it. And the brother went home with nothing. That's denomination. They don't have absolutely, they don't know the truth. But here and in the message of there were Malachi 4, the worshiper in spirit and in truth are the people that have confessed their sin genuinely, and they have been justified after they have gone for water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, washing away their sins, then being sanctified by the blood and by the power of the Spirit, then they are filled with the Holy Ghost. The life that came from the blood that we are talking about, which is God's life. And that life coming to them, then all symptoms are gone. That man is connected with God. The only, now, if you have a phone and it's not, you don't have a SIM in there. If anybody calls you, you can't receive any call. It's not activated. Of course, you can use the internet. You can browse, you can do things without SIM in here. Wi-Fi, you only need Wi-Fi. But when it comes to communication, you want to call somebody. You can say you can call somebody. If you have never activated any phone, you don't have WhatsApp, because before you use WhatsApp, you have to have a SIM. Even the SIM might not be in this very phone. It might be somewhere, it might be in another phone. Even after you have used it, you can remove it from that phone. The WhatsApp will still be working. But you primarily, you still have to activate a SIM. So if you don't activate a SIM, you just buy a new phone and you are using Wi-Fi. Nobody can reach you. You can't reach nobody. You can only create email address and all the Facebook and whatever more. That's what you can do. But when it comes to call, hey, hello, this and this communication, you cannot do it. That is how the Spirit of God is in a man. He activates the man to spiritual activities. He wakes you up to righteousness. He wakes you up to holiness. He wakes you up to purity. He wakes you up to the love of God. That word, the Holy Spirit. When he's not there, you are not waking into anything. You are just the way you are. So worship becomes burdensome. Worship becomes a problem. Worship becomes something that we have to be partying you. We have to be, trying to encourage you and tell you, come to church, do this, do that. It's because you are not activated. When you are activated, the love of God will be shed abroad in your heart. You won't feel happy not coming to church. Because you know you now have access. You have free access. You can approach the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. You can approach him with a true hand. You know that you are talking to him, he's talking to you. And you know he hears you. And you know that he loves you so much that what you are asking from him, he will grant it unto you. Sorry, let's bow down our heads. God bless you. Let's talk to the Lord. As the sermon appears to you, talk to God. Whatever need of yours you have seen from the sermon, talk to God.
Are you talking to God? The blood was shed to give you and me access before the Almighty God. It is through that blood that redemption of our souls is the price for our redemption. While we are praying, the chorus of this song, while we are still praying, it says, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me, for two things. For all my sins, my sickness, and my pains, when I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. I claim the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there, they are just for me. Are they just for you? Does it have any meaning to you, what we are talking about? It was shed for my sins and for my sicknesses and my pains. When I need salvation, when I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. Will you claim that precious blood stain for your healing tonight? Will you claim it for your salvation tonight? Will you claim it for relief from your pains tonight? Because that is what the blood was shed for. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made just for me. For all my sins, my sickness and my pain. Oh, when I need healing, I claim precious blood. Claim them for yourself, for your salvation, for your healing, for your deliverance, for relief from pains and torture of the enemy. God bless you.
Stands, and you know what is behind every hand. Dear Almighty God, we are grateful unto you for this privilege, Lord, to sit again and to hear your word and go back unto us. The power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that While in the Old Testament, they have to offer different animals for different occasions, for different sins. Oh Lord, according to the scripture, you came to offer one sacrifice, once and for all. You cancel all those multitude of sacrifices of animals, of bulls, goats, heifer, and the rest of it, including birds. Everything was summed up in your blood. We are grateful to you. And Lord, as we used to sing that the blood of Jesus will never lose its power. No, never, no, never. And it atones for sins forever. We thank you. We are grateful unto you for what this blood of yours that was shed has done in our lives. We thank you, dear Father. Not only has it saved us, but Lord, you promised to never lose its power until the last ransom church of God will be saved to sin no more. We thank you. Lord Jesus, we appreciate you very much for your word that has brought the sins clearer unto us in our own day. We are not following creeds, human opinion, and ideas. We are following, oh God, the vindicated word that you brought through your vindicated prophet. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We want to ask, especially for as many as have not felt the effect of this blood in their life, that Lord, you will be gracious unto such. Let there be a touch, O God of mercy. Because it is this blood that cleanses, that washes white as snow. The word said that if our sins be as red as crimson, they will be white like snow when it passes through this blood. The prophet told us that red, true red, produces white. Our sins are as scarlet, as crimson, red. Our doubts, our unbelief, our evil life. But when we brought everything by repentance and confession under this blood, it produces white as snow. It's so powerful, so much that even the thief on the right hand that had lived all his life as a sinner, just remaining about 1 minute for him to die, when he recognized, oh God, that you are the Lamb of God that is being slain to take away the sin of the world, that very minute pardon was spoken to him. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. We thank you very much for that power, for that great power of the word. We bless your holy name. Thank you for what your blood has done through the ages, what it's doing in this our age, and what it will continue to do. Master, may we not underrate it, Heavenly Father. I will ask for divine revelation for individuals. May you help us, O God. Lord, not to count this blood of the covenant something that is unimportant. Help us to value it. Help us to reverence it. Help us to honor it. Help us to serve you under it, O living God. Because that is where the devil can do us no harm. Have your way, Father. After your word has gone in different ways, scriptures and quotes being read, as the prophet said that if a believer rightly repents and confesses his sin, he said this sin goes back to the devil and is laid on him until the day of judgment is going to be punished for it. Lord, may none of us look at it the other way to continue in sin, asking grace to abound. But may we, O God, find grace in your sight. Lord, to truly look at this perfect law of liberty, this avenue you have made for us, this open door you have opened for us to enter in. Help everyone, dear Father. There be any sinner here, may they find grace to repent. If there be any backslider, may they think on their way. We pray, Lord, that the believers will be encouraged, Lord, to serve you more, to put in everything that we need to serve you acceptably. Grant it, dear Father. Master Jesus, may all our sins and our doubt and unbelief, may they come under your blood as we repent of every bit of them. grant it ink of glory. Dear Master, we want to ask that you give us, Lord, a refreshing of these things that we have had, deep understanding as we meditate on it. May we just not forget it like that, but may we meditate on it. As we do, may we be drawn closer to you. For whatsoever need, O God, that we have as individuals that might pay your children to lift up their hands, defying law of gravity. You know the needs behind the hands. It could be for themselves or for somebody else. May you answer it, Heavenly Father. As we have made this propitiation, O God, for our sins, you have made, O God, a provision also for the healing of our body. Dear Jesus, whichever way we have need of it, may it be applied, dear Father. May it take effect, Heavenly Father. May Satan be defeated, O God. May you set your people free, Lord. Let it be King of glory. Lord, we ask you bless and replenish your servant you have used to bring your word unto us. Lift up the honor of his ministry and that of the rest of your servants. O God, and as many, Lord, among the vessels of yours you have used today across the nations of the world, we ask that you replenish them, dear Father. May none of us preach in vain, Lord. As we are preaching to others, may your grace help us to live by the same, Father. Thank you, King of glory. This is a new week that your grace has made us to witness. We just ask, O God, that you be with us, guide us, and order our footsteps. Help students, Lord, as they go to their school. Those that have exam, may they be successful, Lord. Lord, those that go to school to study, give them wisdom and understanding. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you be with workers, be in their strength, their wisdom, and bless their effort, O God. Grant them promotions in their places of work. We pray for business, we pray for prosperity. We ask you to rebuke devourers for the sake of your children. Lord, travelers, may you watch over us this week, Father. All that we shall do, may your grace be upon us, dear Father. Heal the sick and the afflicted. May we enjoy good throughout this week, Father. Thank you, King of glory. Blessed be your wonderful name. Your servant that went to Bakatari, when going back home, you take him home safely. Lord, the one that has in Safele, when he'll be coming back tomorrow, may you grant him joy and mercies. And when he will leave Ibadan on Tuesday, may you go with him, dear Father. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Every blessing of the day, may Satan not pick any of them out of our life. If we are here by Wednesday, we pray you gather us again in our numbers and bless us for the Lord. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. We ask these petitions with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. We see Brother Kujie. Kujeko Yomi is the, because I just want to confirm whether I changed the name. His brother, maybe the person didn't hear you clearly. Brother Kujeko Yomi, he's been with us a couple of times, sometimes before. God bless you. He used to be in Abuja before and came to Ibadan after some time, and I think he's around Akobo at the moment. God bless you. We thank the Lord for the privilege to be in church today, and we trust that the Lord will give us a wonderful week as we start to eat. I'm trying to see Sister Olabamji is still around. I can't see her in this place. Maybe she's outside. I can see the daughter. I want to see your mom before she goes. All right. I will see Baba Larotimi for 1 minute. I have an appointment also with Dr. Folaju. So I think our discussion is in place, right? Yeah, okay. God bless you all. Once again, thank you for your birthday wishes, songs, gifts, and everything. The Lord richly bless you. There are so many hymns that are composed with the blood. And the prophet said one time that they were trying to edit Some church want to edit their songbook that they want to remove all this word, the thing that have blood out of it. Yeah, see, they don't want no blood in their songbook. When the Bible says without the shedding of blood, no remission for sin. So they want to remove remission of sins from their church. I don't know whether they did it. If they did, that will be fine. Shall we rise? Let's sing one of them, 141. 141, nothing but the blood.
Now